Hello and welcome to Backyard Catch. This is Nick Roby, and we are joined once again by our good friend Faxon Childress on day two, Tuesday. Faxon, day two under your belt. How are you feeling?
Feeling great, man. Got a great chance to do some player and some coach interviews over the course of today. So very blessed to keep doing work with 105.5 The Roar, and grateful for the platform. Grateful for the opportunity to hop on Backyard Catch once again as well and kind of break down day two.
I appreciate it. Yeah, we love your insight and thoughts, and just It's cool. There's so many things going on. So I think like you and I have gotten to have some fun, different perspectives on the day. And so this was yesterday, there were three teams. This is day one of five teams. There's 17 teams they have to bring through here in 4 days. So it's crazy. We're only halfway done with teams. Before we get into just talking a little bit about each team, what would you say has just been like a big takeaway from today? What's been like the vibe you're kind of feeling, or just what's just really stood out from today?
Man, I loved Brent Pry coming into today, and after his his press conference answers, I think I love Brent Pry even more, and I'm even higher on this Virginia Tech team after getting to interview Dorian Strong, who I think is the best defensive back in this league headed into the upcoming season. Getting to hear Coach Pry just kind of talk about the process, we're going to talk about Virginia Tech extensively, I'm sure, because I think that's the best team that was here today. I think that we would probably both be in agreement with that as well. And today didn't have necessarily the upper echelon teams in the ACC, but definitely some intriguing storylines, some dark horses and more. So really good to hear from the Virginia Tech guys. Really good to hear from the former Clemson offensive coordinator, running backs coach, and multiple-time national champion, Tony Elliott. Obviously, we love Coach Elliott. Both the Virginia teams are super intriguing, and both the California teams are super intriguing as well. So a really fun day, too.
Yeah, I think what was interesting is that, Virginia Tech, I would say, definitely has the strongest case. It's maybe a dark horse of making, a run in this. But, I mean, of course, the ball hasn't been snapped yet.
Yeah.
But I think there's still a lot of storylines that are being played. Yeah, like you said, there's the two Virginia teams. You have the two new teams from California, which I think were definitely one of the big ones. SMU has not as big of a jump. Like, you can see Texas, but California was probably big ones. So that was very interesting to hear from them. And then you have Pitt, who just won the league a few years ago. They're coming off of a down year, but will those pieces kind of fit together? So I think that was kind of the big thing. And just really, just having all these different teams and just kind of seeing the questions that would be asked just the whole feel of it. So I agree. It was exciting to hear all of it. We can just go in order kind of just of how they started with their press conference. Maybe let's start with Pitt. What were just kind of some of your takeaways with Pitt today?
Yeah, Coach Narduzzi's a great dude, and this is his 10th year at Pitt, second longest tenure coach in the Atlantic Coast Conference as of right now, and it was a really disappointing season last year, and they really failed to perform to the standard that they had established. You talk about how this team won the league a couple years ago. They're a perennial 7-8-plus win team under Pat Narduzzi, and the job overall throughout his career that he's done has been incredible, but this roster really lacks talent. It was interesting to see what Coach Narduzzi's takeaways were. When talking to the players, they kept emphasizing the player-led practices. That was something that they continuously talked about and about how they're really trying to take initiative and take steps over the course of the offseason to get better on their own accord and during their own time as well. So I was impressed with the demeanor. I was impressed with the determination to turn it around. But ultimately, I don't know if this roster is talented enough to make a big leap from where they were last season.
Yeah, I think there's still a lot of moving pieces. I would say what's interesting is, I'm just looking at returning production. They only have 57% on offense, 54% on defense. They're getting a new, defensive line coach. They're really known for their defense, and they brought in Phil Dracovic last year from Boston College, and they have Nate Yarnell, who got some snaps last year. Another tall guy like me, I appreciate the tall guy QB aspect, because a lot of times when you're over 6'5", you're going to play line on flag football. So I appreciate that. I liked getting the talk with them. But I think there's just a lot of questions. And I think defensively, they have another great defensive back. I think that is to be known. I'm curious to see offensively what this will look like. And now, I will say, they play tough, and they're always very competitive. You don't want to ever count them out. They play West Virginia, that's a big one. They have Cincinnati. I really think that we've said this multiple times, and we're going to say this more again. It's so vital, and the coaches will emphasize this. They will say, okay, every game's the next game. But they also will say, you want to build momentum. It's so important for a team like Pitt or a team like Virginia to build that momentum coming into later in the season, because they host teams like Clemson. They go to SMU. They go at North Carolina. So, over under, if you were a pick right now, what would you say ballpark of wins? Would you, do you think they get to a bowl game this year?
No. No. I think my head with Pitt is probably currently at 4-8, 5-7, and okay. It's not a diss to Coach Narduzzi. I did pick Pitt last in the league in my personal ballot. And once again, yeah. It's like they're going to be solid defensively. Like, and that's what Pat Narduzzi is. He's a great defensive mind. And, yeah, you brought in some new staffing and a couple new players on the offensive side of the ball. But this team, just in comparison to the rest of the league, really, really lacks talent on offense. So I'm concerned about Pitt headed into the upcoming season. We'll see how everything ends up shaking out. But this is not a team I'm high on, really, for any particular reason. I think their defense will be top half of the league. But I think yeah. their offense has a chance to be dead last.
Yeah, yeah. And so we will see for sure. Moving on to maybe your number one fan team of Virginia Tech. So we just spent a lot of time on Virginia Tech. Brent Pry took the stage and really just what I thought was cool is just he just has this personality that really just draws you in. And the state of Virginia is so interesting because there's so much talent that's there, but I feel like both teams are still trying to get back to recruiting that era. He talked about recruiting the DMV, and if someone can tap into that, there's a lot of potential that's there. You're obviously high on Virginia Tech. I mean, has anything changed in today, or are you even just more?
I think this team's going to the college football playoff. I understand how crazy that might sound for a team whose win total is 7.5 or 8 in some places in Vegas, and I understand how crazy that may sound for a team that's coming off a 7-6 season, but mm-hmm. We talked about these points on the podcast yesterday as well. This is the team that returns the most production in the country. This is a team that returns 11 starters on offense, 10 starters on defense by my count. We talked about continuity today with Dorian Strong, their defensive back, who I think is going to be a first-team all-league performer. We talked about continuity with Brent Pry, was the question that I asked him, and he said that it's something that's super-duper valuable and unique. Mm-hmm. And he also talked about the fact that how they're using their NIL dollars. And he said, we have funding, we have NIL money. And he's like, but you guys aren't going to ever see us going out and bid anyone, was the direct quote from Brent Pry. Yeah. He's like, we're focused on keeping our guys here. So when you combine the fact that they have one of the most dynamic playmakers in the league, in my opinion, in Kyron Drones, who's going to be leading the charge at quarterback, when you combine the fact that all of their top receivers return, and it's a couple guys that are really poised to break out in that room, running back returns, and they're going to have a really dynamic rushing attack as well over the course of the season, offensive line, you feel really good about that group up front, and then defensively, you're going to feel really good about what you have in the secondary specifically. You have an all-league performer along your defensive line. You feel good about your defensive line in front seven as well. The big thing for Virginia Tech is going to be keeping their key players healthy and stopping the run on defense, because this was a passing defense that was top 10 nationally last year. I would expect them to continue that trend headed into the upcoming season. Brent Pry's a defensive guy, right? He comes from Penn State, where he was the defensive coordinator. So I would expect Virginia Tech to take big strides this year on the defensive side of the football. And I think offensively, they have one of the most dynamic playmakers in the league in Drones that's going to really be able to set the tone for them. And this team was really darn hard to beat towards the second half of last season. 5-2 over their last seven games, with their only two losses coming to ranked opponents in NC State and at Louisville. So I really think that this team's got a good thing rolling. They brought back pretty much everyone that was a key contributor, and I'm all in, man. I think this team's going to the ACC championship game. I think this team's winning 10-plus games in the regular season, and I think they're going to the college football playoff. I genuinely believe that.
Well, I really can see two teams from the ACC. I know we're talking about with the playoff, like how many Big Ten and SEC teams are going to make it.
I think the ACC gets two.
I mean, but if you have a team that's 10-2, even 10-3 at worst, are we going to leave them out for sure? I mean, we don't know. And if you get wins, like say they win at Miami, and say they beat Clemson even, and then Clemson comes back and beats them in the ACC title game, aren't both teams probably going? I would say so. And to speak to your point, they were fourth in pass defense in the country last year, sixth in explosive pass, like holding teams down. It's vital in the team. They keep talking about ACC is the league of quarterbacks. I mean, that's vital. And I agree. I think they're making a strong case, and they're growing on me. I don't know if I'm quite ready yet, but man, it is. You can see why people get behind Brent Pry. The multiple guys talked about today how they came to Virginia because of the culture that was there and just what it's building. If not this year, it's going to continue to grow. This isn't just a flash in the pan. I believe in what Virginia Tech is building for sure. Want to make sure we hit on all these teams. We're going to talk with Cal a little bit. Justin Wilcox, Jaden Ott, Chandler Rogers. What's your feel with the Golden Bears coming in?
Man, honestly, like, I'm a Wilcox guy, right? I thought they were going to be really good a couple of years ago. It's been an up and down for them in the Pac-12. I think that this team has some strengths. I think this team has a chance to win some games in this league. Yeah. Obviously, you bring Rodgers over from North Texas. Got a little bit of a QB battle going on, and it seems like Rodgers is probably going to end up winning and becoming the starting quarterback. I would assume that that's why he's at the media day. But once again, things can change. Injuries can happen, knock on wood, et cetera, et cetera. But this is a football team that went 6-7 last year. They lost their bowl game. They won three straight to end the regular season to get to bowl eligibility. So they were able to end on some positive momentum, even though that Texas, I think it was the Independence Bowl against Texas Tech that they lost, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, that's right.
So, you know, this Cal team is going to be a middle of the pack to lower tier team in this league this year, and it's not really an indictment on Wilcox, but when you look at the three teams and their ability to translate over, I think that the worst of that group is Cal, in my opinion, and it's nothing against Wilcox, it's just the roster has a lot of flaws, especially defensively. I mean, I don't know if you have the defensive numbers on hand, but This defense did not do anything even at an average level last year, especially based on what I was watching with my own eyes and the very limited Cal football that I watched.
Yeah.
But they were supposed to be significantly better on defense. Do you have the production numbers, Nick? How much production are they returning?
They're returning 62% on defense. That's 56, 71 on offense. But to speak to your point, they were 114th in scoring defense in the country, 131st in passing defense and negative play percentage, like how much they're creating negative plays.
So, like, their defense was not
that
good.
That has to be better.
Their defense was straight up not good. Their offense does some things well, and it'll be interesting to see if Rodgers can kind of open a new element. I think that this team could get to bowl eligibility, but when we talk about dark horse contenders to win the league or teams that could potentially pull upsets, for me personally, Cal is just not really in that category as of right now, especially making the transition from the Pac-12 to the ACC.
Yeah, I agree. And I think especially for those California teams, they were confident in their ability to like travel across the country. But Cal, I saw, is going to travel like 24,000 miles this year, like just across the country. And I just think that plays a little bit of a factor. I don't know how much, but a little bit. But you have to know, if you do not know the name Jaden Ott, the running back.
Oh, he's elite.
He's a dude, and he has a chance to break the Cal rushing record this year. And he can play, so you need to watch him.
I'll say this about Cal. I think that their offense is going to be good. I mean, I'm a Rodgers believer, and on top of that, I'm an Ott believer. And I think that they have a chance to have a dynamic rushing attack. I think that Rodgers can really play and really sling it through the air. But ultimately, fairly difficult schedule. You're changing leagues, you're changing time zones, and your defense was a dumpster fire last year, and you lost a lot of that production. To me, the stars just aren't aligning for a team that has a chance to be anywhere near a contender in this league. Yeah. Middle of the pack to bottom of the pack is where I'm at right now, and I just don't think they're a needle mover for me as of right now.
Yeah, that's fair. All right, moving on to the fourth team of the day, we have, just across from the rivalry, we have Stanford. So what are your feel for the Cardinals?
Well, I'm rooting for Stanford this year because Ashton Daniels is my guy now. shout out Gwinnett County. Stanford is a team that is going to struggle this year, and it's not because of Ashton Daniels. I actually think that he's a really good player, and I think that he had some super big bright spots last year. I remember that game against Colorado was absolutely electric, and Stanford was able to put a ton of points up on the board, but it was a fluctuating and up-and-down season last year in Palo Alto, to say the least. And, you know, for a team like Stanford, I know that I think you're looking at pick six previews right now. They've got them last in the league. I'm a little higher on Stanford than that. I think that they're probably in that 13 to 15 range. But in a similar category to Cal, in a similar regard to Cal for me, from the perspective of I believe in their quarterback, I believe in their running back, I believe in a couple of their receiving talents. This defense was a dumpster fire last year, and there's no way of denying that. So, I mean, you got the numbers in front of you, Nick. Can you read off some of these defensive numbers for Stanford last year?
It's not pretty. They gave up 37 points a game, 132nd points per play. They were 94th in rush defense, 133rd in pass defense.
So this is one of the worst defenses in the country last year.
It needs to be better. And it just, I think there's going to be a transition. But yeah, it's going to be very interesting to see how they adjust to ACC play.
Them and Cal have a lot of similarities. Like, I like both of those quarterbacks a lot. I like both of those running backs a lot. And I think they've got weapons on the outside. And I've honestly got no doubt that these teams are going to be able to put up points in the ACC. And the ACC is not a team that necessarily, or the ACC is not a league rather, that necessarily hones in on their elite defenses. But I view Stanford and Cal as middle to bottom of the pack ACC teams in year one that are going to be able to put up some points on the board and have some dynamic playmakers on offense. But defensively, I think it's really going to be a struggle because, I mean, Nick, Let's run through the teams in the ACC. But you know what? Go back in your pick six preview. Let's just go start to bottom. Let's go first to worst in the ACC based on what the pick six previews have.
Okay.
And I'm going to talk about all the playmakers on this team. So you have Miami. You have Cam Ward. You have Restrepo on the outside. You've got Damian Martinez at running back. You've got one of the best offensive lines in the league. How are Cal and Stanford getting stops against these teams? They're not. Florida State. I'm not a DJ guy, but they have significantly more talent on offense than either Stanford or Cal. They're not going to be able to get stops against Clemson. Cade Klubnik, Antonio Williams, Jake Brenningstuhl, Tyler Brown, TJ Moore, Bryant Wesco. Year two of Garrett Riley, you return eight starters on offense. You want to think that your offensive line is going to get better. I don't buy that they're going to be able to get stops. Louisville, you got Tyler Shough. Jeff Brohm hit the portal again. Gets a seventh-year experience quarterback. You have a revamped running back room. You have good receivers on the outside. I don't think they're going to be able to get stops there. NC State, you've got Grayson McCall in there. You make an upgrade at quarterback. You have one of the most dynamic playmakers in the league with Casey Concepcion. I don't think Cal and Stanford are going to be able to get stops against them. We talked extensively about Virginia Tech and how they have one of the most dynamic and offensive playmakers in the league in Drones, who's got weapons littered all over him. SMU was one of the top offenses in the country last year. North Carolina, another team that's going to be able to put up points on the board in year two in the Chip Lindsey system, and they have one of the best running backs in the entire league, maybe even in the entire country. Georgia Tech, top 10 rushing offense in the country last year. You know, when you go from top to bottom in this league, and this isn't even mentioning a Boston College that has a dynamic playmaker like Castellanos. Yeah. This isn't even mentioning a Duke who brought in Malik Murphy and has a revamped weapons group on the outside. This isn't even talking about Wake Forest, who's hard to get stops against anyone because of how weird that mesh point is. And that's going to be their first time playing that. So we just ran through the entire ACC for the most part outside of that. How are Cal and Stanford getting stops in these games is my big question with how horrific their defenses were last year. It's not an indictment on their coaches. It's not an indictment on their coaching staffs. It's just one of those things where the proof is in the pudding, and we know what these defensive units are going to be able to bring to the table, and it's not going to be pretty. The ACC is a shootout league, so maybe Stanford, maybe Cal can win some shootouts, and maybe they can, one of them can get to 7-8 win range, but for me, as of right now, I view them both as 4-6 win football teams that are going to finish middle to bottom of the pack in the ACC, just because I don't buy their ability to be able to get stops with how dynamic some of the offenses in this league are.
Yeah, I think that's very fair, and I think that's probably the big indictment on them. The one thing I would add is they just have to, I feel like both of them would have to be able to control the ball with their running game to help their defense, but it's tough, and I think there'll be an adjustment period, and that's part of growing and part of being in a new conference. Last team to talk about today is
the Fighting Tony Elliott.
The Fighting Tony Elliott's, the other Virginia, the Virginia Cavaliers. Obviously has the Clemson tie, it's going to be his first time coming back to Clemson. He kind of talked through that. Of course, they've had a tough couple of years. Going into, I think his third year, what's your feel on Virginia?
Man, Tony Elliott's done such an unbelievable job, and people will look at the 6-16 record, but interviewing him today was just so special for me to kind of get his mentality on how he's been able to touch that community and how he's been able to impact that community over the last couple years after the tragic events in Charlottesville a couple years back. So for me, Tony Elliott's already a winner, man. And what he's been able to do to inspire that community and build that community, it's been flat out inspirational to me. As far as a football perspective goes, I think that this team was a team that had a chance to win more than three football games last year. I mean, you run through the schedule. We did it earlier today, Nick Roby. 5-1 score losses, four of which within a field goal. You're a couple plays away from being in a bowl game. And Tony is a guy that's a multi-time national champion as a coordinator. He knows how to call on offense.
Yeah.
Another team whose defense, I'm not trying to be rude to any of these defenses, but like the numbers are the numbers. This defense was not very good last year. It was a little bit better than a Cal or a Stanford. Offense struggled at times last year. You had quarterback controversy. You had injuries. Musket got hurt at one point, and Cordray, and he came in and provided a spark, but ended up kind of getting figured out on tape. What I'll say is this. You lost Malik Washington, who is one of the program's all-time leading receivers and an absolute legend, and that's going to be a big loss to replace, but you did bring in a couple portal kids at wide receiver, including Tyree from Notre Dame. I think he's going to be able to be a contributor. I think that Payson Brown as a 1-2 punch in the backfield is going to be something that's dynamic, and I believe in both the quarterbacks that they have. I don't think it really even matters who they start, even though I think they're going to go with Musket, because I think that they're both talented. Virginia's going to take strides this year on the offensive side. They've got to be able to get stops consistently, and they've got to be able to hunker down and win those close games because there are a few breaks, a few field goals, a few special teams plays. Mm-hmm. And Tony Elliott said that today when I was interviewing him. He's like, listen, Faxon, we're five, six plays per game away from being 7-8 win football team last year, and the narrative's completely different. So
yeah,
for Tony's group this year, I think 5-6 wins would be a heck of a season, and especially considering they play one of the toughest schedules in the entire country, which is not super advantageous to them. But I think that they're going to find a way to win late in games, and I believe in Tony Elliott up in Charlottesville. Mm-hmm. I believe in him as a leader. I believe in the culture that he's going to be able to establish and has already established. And I know that he really cares about those kids, and those kids really care about him. So Tony's always going to have a fan in me. I really hope they can get to a bowl game this year because lost by like 1 point to James Madison, 36-35. They lost an overtime game down in Coral Gables, 29-26, and a couple more games they were right there knocking on the doorstep and just not really able to get the job done. So it'll be interesting to see if Tony's crew can kind of rally in those close games this year and be able to slam the door on some of these ACC foes and kind of be a sleeper team in the ACC.
Yeah, agreed. I mean, because and not to forget, they beat number 10 North Carolina.
Yeah.
And they took out a Duke team that beat Clemson. So, like, they have it's being more consistent, right? And he talked about, like, the running game needs to be a little bit better. The more that they can help out and they can help out the quarterback. So the pieces are getting there. It's just a matter of, like, can they continue to build on that and really see the fruits of not just the off the field, how they've handled it, which I agree. It's so respectful and so impressive to watch, and it's hard not to root for a guy like Tony just wanting to see more success for them too. I seem a little better, but it's a tough schedule, and I'm hoping that they can get some success. Agreed, just for a bowl game will be really cool to see. So Faxon, I really appreciate it, man.
Oh yeah,
it's been really fun.
Anytime I will come on Backyard Catch anytime you have me, man. Absolutely. Yeah. Anytime you have me.
I love it. Well, appreciate you guys. That is it for day two. We are going to have day three. We got five more teams lined up. Remember to like and subscribe to the podcast. And for Faxon, this is Nick Roby, and I'm signing off. We'll talk to you later.